This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you, Sabrina, for the news. My name is Rich Bradbury. It is Friday, the 27th of April, 2018. Of course, this is Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm joined in the studio today by the wonderful pair of... Audrey Raj.
I
didn't know how to respond
you
to
didn't
that.
Know, I'm trying to be nice. It's Friday. I'm setting us up for a nice weekend. No? Okay.
Okay.
If you want to get in touch with our show, give me some reassurance at 018-789-8899. Of course, get us on Twitter at BFM Radio. Conversation starter, we're going to be talking about how music makes surgery less scary and painful.
Yes.
My question is, though, if you're having surgery, how are you going to be listening to music? Wouldn't you be under anesthetic for the most part?
I have the answer to that
Right. Of course she does. Mm. Right. And then how there's an ingenious digital swear jar that uses voice recognition to penalize you for bad words.
Yes, that's what we're going to get Richard for his birthday
next.
Oh,
dear. I will be broke. And then how Disney have made a jacket to simulate physical experiences, kind of like when a snake slithers over your body, that kind of stuff.
And that's Arvin's Christmas gift.
It is indeed. And then we have Amazon's Echo for kids. It's a dot with a case. It gives cuter responses and parental controls. That's for Jeff. And then, of course, we'll give you some podcast recommendations that we think you might want to listen to over the weekend. Let's start off then with this music story.
Yeah, so a new study published this month in the British Journal of Surgery makes the case that music is plenty good at relieving surgery patients' anxiety and pain. So Dutch researchers studied cases of more than 7,000 patients dating back to 1980 and compared patients' perceptions to anxiety and pain versus a control group, right?
Okay.
They found that playing music was associated with lower anxiety and pain ratings regardless of the type of surgery performed, regardless of age or gender of the patient, and when the music was actually played, there was an average 21-point decrease in anxiety from a scale of 1 to 100, and there was a 10-point decrease in pain, also from a scale of 1 to 100. Mm. So just say like surgery on your knee would, the pain factor would be, say, 79, but if you played music at the same time, it might actually drop to about 69.
Interesting.
That's what the this is research over 30 years, and this is what it's found, right? That said, there were subtle differences in how effective music could be depending on timing and other factors. So the effect of anxiety was greatest when music was played before an operation. While for pain, the largest decrease were noticed when playing music afterwards. So it's kind of like pain relief. It acts as a painkiller in some ways. Specific features of the music intervention, such as rhythm and harmony, the use of specific instruments like string instruments, also seem important features in anxiety and pain reduction.
Go on then, Arvin.
No, I kind of agree because, you know, even when you're feeling stressed, like normally, right, like outside of like surgeries, it doesn't have to be like high, like intense situations. If you listen to music, then you feel better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like in any kind of, like if you're in a bad mood, normally people listen to music. If you're feeling depressed, people listen to music.
When you want to feel depressed.
Yeah, if you want to listen feel depressed, you listen to music. So it has like a huge impact on people's feelings and, you know, their moods and stuff. So I'm not surprised that, you know, people who listen to music during surgery, they feel way better. Like have you seen those videos where there's someone who's going through like an operation on their brain and they can't be put under because the doctors need them to keep speaking to make sure that
they need to be conscious.
Yeah, they need to be conscious. And the person's always like playing a guitar or there's music or he's wearing headphones or something. It's to calm him down to make sure that he's, you know, he's focusing on something else instead of someone messing around with his actual brain in his head.
Yeah, so that's the point, right? So some argue that this is a placebo effect, but patients might also be distracted, like you said. Arvin, by the music to think about their pain or stress. But researchers say that that can't be the entire picture, placebo effect or distraction, because music played during surgeries where patients were completely knocked out also seem to be associated with pain relief. That's what their research is.
Interesting. So I can relate to an experience. I wasn't having an operation, but I was in a CT scan when you're in the actual tube
MRI.
The MRI, sorry.
Oh, that is awful.
And it's a horrible experience, but you know, it's not too uncomfortable. But I remember getting in it, and the doctor was like, you know what, we're going to calm you down a little bit and we're going to put you some music on, it will help you relax. And I'm like, brilliant, that's just what I need right now. You know what came on? The Backstreet Boys. Right? Honestly. And
oh, that is painful.
Exactly. And at that moment,
at
that moment,
I felt my anxiety level increase. I felt my stress level increase. So like you say, I'm guessing it depends on the type of music that is being played.
Agreed. Yeah.
Right?
Because I can imagine that if I was undergoing surgery and they played Kenny G,
oh wow,
I want to die.
Yeah. Or kill somebody, you know, either or, right?
Yeah. No, but what would you want to listen to if you're like, you know, having surgery and you have to stay awake for some weird reason?
I mean, I think it would be something that I'd like to sing along to, you know. I mean, if it's something that I want to feel positive, Stevie Wonder or something, you know, Superstition on repeat. Something like that. It's got that happy groove.
You don't want to hear Superstition when you're, you know.
I don't know.
Odd choice.
It's a happy song. You know, something like that. I certainly wouldn't want, like, Rage Against the Machine or something like that.
You might
like
kick
that.
Your surgeon. You might kick your
surgeon. I would. Like, no, metal straight away.
Right?
Yeah,
really?
Because that's the only genre that has, like, an effect that can, like, immediately change my mood. Like, if I'm feeling down, it's metal and I'm, like, up there again.
Good to know.
Yeah. For me, I just think it's, like, the music that I enjoy. So maybe Diorama from Silverchair, or Queen's Greatest Hits, or even the latest Black Panther soundtrack. Ooh, I think something like that.
You mean
that,
the same thing you have as your ringtone? Which
that
gets
is
me in-
not my ringtone. That's Calvin Harris, Rich.
Okay, Calvin Harris. I do apologize, yes.
Yeah, so I think it comes down to the kind of music that puts you in the right frame of mind to relax, or you know, brings back good memories.
Good memories, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Interesting topic. Let's ask the people at home then. 018-789-8899. If you were to undergo surgery and you had the choice of listening to a piece of music or some music, what would you listen to? Tell us what style it is. Tell us what song it might be. You know, this could be a bit of fun for a Friday afternoon. Okay, let's move on. We've got a second story. This digital swear jar. I love the idea of this, right? So you want to stop swearing so much, then get yourself a swear jar. I mean, every office used to have one of these at some point.
You know? Yes, especially if you work in radio, there's always a swear jar.
And here's the beautiful thing about radio. Most of us, you know, are really good at not swearing on air. But if you take us off air, it's an entirely different world.
Speak for yourself. I don't use any swear words.
Right,
you know? I'm clean, family friendly.
I'm breaking that fourth wall at home.
I don't know most of the swear words that exist.
Oh, quit playing games with my heart, for heaven's sake.
That's a song that we could add to the playlist. Right. But it's true. You know, there's often a swear jar on a table, and they tend to get filled quite quickly. Now, this is something quite clever. The premise behind it is it's this unusual new gadget. It's basically an always listening speaker, like the Amazon Echo or the Google Home, only with the sole function of recognizing whenever you use a particular naughty word. So like its inspiration, the purpose of the jar is to clean up the language around it. This is according to the creator, Brian Rogers. But unlike the classical jar, in which users place money after swearing, our device is a smart device that does the detection automatically. It's called Jargon. Uses speech recognition to listen to nearby speech for user-entered flagged words, which are entered via a mobile phone application. So you can have different presets for it. You can download certain sets of categories of words or whatever.
In different languages?
In different languages with different accents. And you can then choose to add your own words, which you think should be added to this list. Let's say, for example, you have a pest in the office who's always calling the girls sweetie or honey or something like that, you know, and every office tends to have one of those. And it has those words. You can program it in. So if somebody walks past and says, hey, sweetie, it will go, eh. And then they have to add money.
And everyone will know.
And everybody will know.
Yeah, yeah,
so then do you have to physically put money into the jar? Or, you know, what if it could, like, automatically deduct from your...
I think that's a great idea. And that was something I was going to talk about.
You get a message like, you know, this much has been deducted from your CIMB account.
But no, I think it's a great idea. Not only just because, you know, first of all, it could be nice to have the air cleaned up a little bit.
Yeah.
But you could use this for party games and stuff, you know? You could program certain stuff in it. You know, you could use it to kind of teach your kids as well to be, you know, clean speaking and not listening to their parents', you know, language every now and again. Now, you should be swearing in front of your kids, but it happens. You know, but I think it's a real bit of fun. Now, teachers have expressed an interest in using it in the classroom to help with anti-bullying programs.
Ah.
So oftentimes, you know, teachers are behind on the lingo used by their students and knowing what is different derogatory. So you could have somebody who's like, you know, that cool teacher who every week could program in the new words or the new meme of the month or whatever and just leave it sat in the classroom. Mm. And then it would automatically listen. And then when that word is being used, it would just pick it up and the teacher would know about it.
Mm. I don't know. But do you know the benefits of swearing on the flip side?
Apparently it's supposed to relieve tension, right?
Yeah, relieve tension. It boosts adrenaline.
Yeah.
So there's this book by Emma Byron or Brian. It's called Swearing is Good for You.
Right.
So they have like these experiments where they get like one group of people and then they dip their hands in like a jar of like ice cold water for a few minutes. So it gets super cold and then it starts to ache, right? You get the
painful.
So yeah. One group of people were allowed to swear. The other group of people were not allowed to swear. The guys who were allowed to swear, they were able to keep their hands in the jar for way longer than the people who are not able to.
Really?
Yeah. So they had to get their hands out because it was starting to hurt and they couldn't stand it anymore. But these guys, if they kept swearing and using all the swear words that they knew, could keep their fingers in the jar longer.
I don't know about you, but if I stub my toe or something, I'm not going to say, oh no.
Oh yeah,
you
of
know,
course.
There'll be a certain choice word that tends to come out, and it begins with F. You know, there's a beautiful joke by Billy Connolly, who actually says the F word is probably the best used word, and you can't just use the phrase "go away" because it doesn't quite have the same effect of as the F word. You know,
but get lost works as well.
No, it doesn't.
No.
See, get lost kind of trails off. It's get lost. You know, whereas you go, you know, it's there. It's instant. The meaning is clear.
I just feel bad for Arvind because since he's all clean and family friendly and doesn't swear, then he must have to use music to help relieve
stress.
I mean, that's a good question, though. Isn't there a lot of swearing in these new metal songs?
If there is, I don't know because I'm not sure what they're saying most of the time.
Oh, I see.
No, but there's no. Metal surprisingly doesn't have a lot of swear words.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, because they're screaming so much that
they don't need to use swear words.
They don't need to swear. They're getting all the anger. But I think there's this other thing where they said that kids, teenagers, I won't say kids, let's not endorse that, but teenagers who are allowed to swear had better control over their stress.
That's interesting.
Yeah, so there's an art to it. There's you can't just keep swearing. It loses the effect. But if you swear at the proper time, at the right moment, and you know where to use the word, it has like maximum impact. And you're less stressed. I mean, the other person feels bad, but you know, at least you feel good about yourself.
All right. Interesting topic, though. folks, we are talking to you. The first story we talked about was how, according to 30 years of research, music makes surgery less scary and painful. There's research to back it up. It's been going for 30 years. We've kind of had a bit of a joke about some of the... Well, not a joke, but a discussion about some of the songs that we might have played. Let us know. If you had a choice of song that would be played during your surgery, what would you pick or what style of music would you pick? Keen to know this. Get us on WhatsApp 018-789-8899 or on Twitter at BFM Radio. A bit of Queens of the Stone Age coming up next with Gonna Leave You. And when we get back, our next story about how Disney have made this jacket to simulate physical experiences. Mm-hmm. A little bit weird, but also very interesting. Don't go anywhere. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Bole Fikir Mandalam. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise BizBytes, you music lovers, you. We've been asking you, the first story we started off was 30 years of research have told us that music makes surgery less scary and painful. So I said I'd quite like to listen to Stevie Wonder, Superstition, or whatever. Arvin mocked me for doing that. We've had a whole bunch of messages during the break. What have we got?
So Dr. Taranjit from Malacca, he says that he explained that music releases endorphins or the happy hormones that help with relaxation, but it also applies to specific music only. So he says that his favorites would be the Beatles and some of Mozart. Music also promotes sleeping, specifically speeds the entrance into REM or rapid eye movement sleep, which when the body restoration during sleep occurs. So that helps, I think. And then he also says that Iron Maiden wouldn't help much.
I reckon. It did when I was a kid, you know.
It still does.
Can I play with madness when I were falling asleep? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Then PK75, he says that Black Sabbath, Heaven and Hell is my choice of song.
Okay.
Nice choice of song.
I'd go with Changes, but anyway.
Divine Intervention. This is from Mike Abdul Nan. He says that Divine Intervention, whole album, or God Hates Us All, whole album by Slayer. So I really like these people, you know.
Right, right.
Yeah, good choices. Sunil says that I'd pick a religious track. That way, if the surgery goes south, my transition into the next life will start on a holy note. So he's already preparing.
Yeah, studying for his finals, I see.
Yeah. This is from Crow Montgomery. He says that Bee Gees, Staying Alive.
Oh, good one. Yeah.
Nice.
Ironically, Staying Alive has exactly the right BPM that you need to do CPR. Did you know that?
Exactly. Oh, yeah. I saw them in an episode of The Office.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
And everything goes wrong.
Everything does go wrong, of course. Do keep those entries coming in, folks. Really good options. Let's have a bit of fun with this on a Friday. 018-789-8899. If you are having surgery, what choice of music would you have? What song would you have? What band would you have? What style of music would you have? Also, get us on Twitter. We're at BFM Radio. Now, moving on to story number three, how Disney have made a jacket to simulate physical experiences like a snake slithering across your body. I mean, that's not exactly the best headline, is it?
Yeah, no, and we know what this jacket's going to be used for.
I mean.
So Disney Research and MIT Media Lab and Carnegie Mellon University, they've come up with a new conceptual haptic force jacket, they call it, coincidentally, that simulates physical experiences for people wearing the device. It's to be used with virtual reality headsets. The jacket itself is made, I mean, the concept jacket is made out of those safety jackets that they give you on boats.
Lifesavers.
Lifesavers. So they've sort of modified those just to, you know, show people how it works. So the concept jacket now is fitted with 26 air compartments or airbags and sensors that are controlled by a haptic effects software editor on a computer. And these airbags inflate and deflate to give you the sensation that they're programming into these haptic sensors. So they can simulate hugs, being hit or punched, the sensation of a snake slithering across your body, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
And they say that the goal is to develop core technology for the force jacket that will be sufficient for basic psychophysical assessment and to design and test an initial set of effects. So that's what they're working on now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Audrey's frowning. What's going on?
It's weird, right?
I love the fact that it can simulate hugs, because I think we all need hugs once in a while. So this could be quite useful.
Yeah, but not from a jacket.
Yeah, no, but imagine, right? You haven't seen your significant other for a while. You're sat at your desk with your jacket on. They can log into their app and give you a virtual hug. What's wrong with that?
No, Rich, I told you
we know what this jacket's going to be used for. You know,
there's going to be a special Disney Tinder edition.
Disney needs to patent this to keep it safe and go like, no, this is for Disney stuff only. You know?
I just can't get past the fact that, you know, they've used this example of a snake slithering across your body, and I get like Harry Potter Chamber of Secrets, that giant snake wrapped around Harry, right? Mm-hmm. That's the image that I get. So could it simulate something like that?
Yeah,
that's the idea behind it, right?
Yeah, because if it can simulate hugs, then they can just, like, you know, make the hug feel like a snake.
Like an anaconda squeezing you.
Yeah, anaconda squeezing you. This is getting very dark.
It is getting very dark. Yeah.
But no, so now they have a few effects. The few effects, they include racing heartbeat, because we all want that. Light or heavy rain, snowball hit to the chest, a hand tap on the shoulder, slime dripping on your back, or a bug crawling up your arm. And you can also feel motorcycle vibrations.
I mean, they're all kind of friendly-ish.
Yeah.
You know.
They're friendly-ish, and I can pin each and every one of them to specific Disney ride. So, you know, like if you go into like Disney Haunted Mansion, then you want to get someone tapping on your shoulder,
right,
even though no one's there. I guess, and also, you know, these are all obviously rides that are in virtual reality. Mm, so you're going to have, you know, someone tapping you, no one's at the back, someone
throwing a snowball at you, snowball from at you. Frozen.
Yeah. You know, stuff that's more fun. They've currently built.
Let it go, Audrey. Let it go.
They've currently built three VR apps for the testing of the jacket. So they have a snowball fight game. They have a simulation of the snake crawling around, like you said, and a simulation of growing muscle. So this one is very much
I could certainly do with that.
Yeah, but this one, these are huge muscles, like the Hulk, you know. Oh. So for kids.
Oh, well, I mean, if you're going to go and see something like, you know, a Marvel movie, and he's transforming on screen, that'd be pretty cool.
So, you know, something like that, or you're, you know, I guess it's for kids. It feels, especially if you're suiting up like Iron Man or something, then it can sort of simulate that kind of feeling. So pretty nice.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, Audrey, what's wrong?
I think I'd only use this jacket for a hug, honestly.
Have you done the 4D experience, the cinema 4D
experience? Yes, I have.
And what did you think of that?
I turned it off because I found it distracting.
You turned it off?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Yes. I liked it. You didn't like the thing, you know, tapping on the back and the air blowing on you and no?
No.
All right.
No, I mean, you know, for these, I don't think these jackets, they're going to look the way they look now because they look like lifesavers, like stuff that you would wear in a boat. So I think these are uncomfortable. Mm. No one would wear them in like a 4D setting or something because it is very claustrophobic. Yeah, so they would have to make it sleeker. Like if you've seen like Ready Player One, it would have to be like a bodysuit with all these sensors in.
Not attractive bodysuits.
The one now?
All bodysuits. Do you remember when Jeff Sandu came walking in Halloween wearing that bodysuit that one time?
Yeah.
Not a pretty picture.
Oh, I don't think I was here yet.
Thank yourself.
Thankfully,
lucky.
Yeah, thankfully.
Sorry, Jeff, if you're listening. Anyway, let's take a break. We've got some music. Oh, before we get to the music, do we have any more messages?
We have another one from 4119, but I'm not sure if it's the same Crow Montgomery because he also says that BG is staying alive, obviously.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right, okay, time for some music then. It is the Beatles, of course, to Dr. Tharanjit, is it?
Mm-hmm.
In Malacca. This is Across the Universe here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Building first world mindsets. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise BizBytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. Of course, I'm joined in the studio by the wonderful Audrey Raj.
Thank you.
And the even more wonderful Arvind Yuvaraj.
Ladies
and gentlemen, we started off the show with how 30 years of research has told us that music helps to reduce pain during surgery.
Yeah.
So we started off by asking you guys, what songs would you want playing during surgery?
Mm-hmm.
You know, once we've got some of these out of the way, let's kind of move on a little bit to what would you like the surgeon to have played during? Because you never know, some of the tunes that you're picking might be distracting.
Slipknot.
Slipknot, wow. No, but the thing is, the thought just occurred to me, right? Because like Arvin was talking about metal and you know, people came back with suggestions like Black Sabbath.
Slayer.
Slayer and things like that, right? Iron Maiden.
Yeah.
But what if your choice of music doesn't really
jive
with what the surgeon likes, right?
Yeah.
Would you want to distract your surgeon or
unsettle
your surgeon? I mean, that could be scary, dangerous.
Yeah.
I mean, if they're wearing headphones, then it should be okay. Or you're like,
you don't want your surgeon wearing headphones.
No, you're wearing headphones.
Oh, okay.
You're wearing headphones. Your surgeon should be
exactly. doctor,
listening to his assistants.
Doctor, sorry, it wouldn't work, would it? Right. What suggestions do we have then?
So Alif said that he would want to listen to "Let Me Live" by Queen.
Of course.
And then we have from number 1480. I think his name is Mont. During surgery, I will definitely like to hear Pink Floyd, "Comfortably Numb."
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So those two for now. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Right. Moving on to the final story before we get onto some podcast recommendations. The Amazon's Echo for Kids.
Yeah. So Amazon has created a version of Alexa specifically meant for kids. It's called the Echo Dot Kids Edition. So at the hardware level, basically, it's just a standard dot that comes with a durable colored sleeve, so it's colorful and kind of cute.
Mm-hmm.
It's also bundled with a 1-year subscription to Amazon Free Time Unlimited and a 2-year worry-free guarantee. So if your Dot for Kids breaks, Amazon will replace it for free. So right now it retails from about $80 and upwards, depending on what you want in Dot. Free Time Unlimited's main benefit is a collection of child-friendly content that includes kid-focused skills, over 300 audible books, a number of ad-free radio stations for your kids, and playlists from Radio Disney, iHeart Radio Family, and others. So there's also a new parent dashboard app that can be used to limit what your kids do with the Dot, restrict how long or what times they can use Alexa, and prevent the Echo from playing music with explicit lyrics.
Otherwise, it'd end up in the swear jar, of course.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So the biggest change is that Amazon's digital assistant, Alexa, has a new way of interacting with children thanks to a new kid-friendly programming. So some of these new features include some kind of reward every time kids say please or thank
nice.
You. It's also more forgiving. It has a more forgiving voice recognition program that allows kids to call Alexa a Wexa.
Right?
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, and Amazon even changed the responses to certain questions so that when kids ask Alexa, where do babies come from? Alexa will reply, people make people, but how they're made would be a better question for a grown-up. So maybe go ask your parent, right?
Isn't that dangerous.
Isn't that why the parents buy Alexa for the kids just to dodge like this question? They're like, let Alexa do the work.
I don't know. I mean, according to Ezra Zeidan, an advertisement that we have, you know, people find out how kids are made from a very different source, don't they?
You know what I mean? It'll find you.
It'll find you, indeed.
And also, you know, as kids grow up and if they go to school and if they encounter problems with bullies, you know, if they go back to the dot and they ask Alexa, like, you know, why are kids so mean? Then Alexa might say something like, you know, people bully or are mean for very different reasons. But if you know someone that's being bullied, please, there are lots of people that you should be telling someone older, you should be telling an adult. And so that kind of helps problem solving with children as well. So these kids don't feel alone. They have someone they can talk to. Sometimes they're not comfortable talking to their parents or to a teacher, but maybe they will speak to Alexa.
They will speak to a digital dot,
yes,
you know, rather than an adult.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah,
you know?
I don't know. I don't think I like it so much because, you know, when you think about it, people, once you get into that teenage phase, that's when you build your barriers and stuff. Then you people who are normally social become introverts or they just block off other people. That's when your hormones just get messed up and stuff. But when you're a kid, that's when you're the most social. Most kids are comfortable and they're open. They don't, that introvert behavior hasn't set in. So I think that's the age where they should be talking to other friends and actual human beings and communicating and stuff.
Or, I mean, even just a little bit, even if this dot looked like something, you know, familiar or like something a little cuter than a round circular thing. If it was like, I don't know, a little dragon, a little teddy bear or something. You know, just something a little bit more kid-friendly, I think.
Yeah, good point.
Maybe?
No, I mean, I think it's meant to be cute. So that's why it's built that way. I mean, I can understand the design of the dot. I just think that if you take away someone's opportunity to be social at that age, and then it sort of... I don't know. I don't want to say cripples it, but it discourages them from
being social
in the first place, because that's where they learn all the skills, and you know that's when they're more open. They haven't learned how to like close themselves off yet, and that happens when you're a teenager.
I know many kids younger than 12 who are more reserved, who are quiet when they are in a social setting, but they're comfortable with their parents or with their maid or with their siblings, right? So I think if you can build that level of comfort with a device like this from a young age. I mean, I understand how you think that, you know, a little cute teddy bear or a little doll might seem more
kid-friendly
or easier to talk to. But imagine a child growing from the age of 4 and talking to a little dinosaur and then growing to the age of 12 and still having to talk to that dinosaur. I don't know if it will still apply, though.
You know? I don't know.
So they might not want the cute factor anymore.
The cute factor.
Yeah. Plus, the kids nowadays are used to speaking to things that don't have a cute design. It's their phones. It's their iPads. They're very squarish and you know, mechanical and stuff. So I don't think that it really applies for today's kids. I think.
All right. You could just say I don't agree with you, Richard. That would work too.
Anyway. I mean, I want to say that you're wrong, but you know, I was trying to beat around the bush. Yeah.
Right. Of course, we started off the show with how 30 years of research has proven that having music played during surgery will reduce pain and could even help with recovery as well. Was that right, Audrey?
Yes.
Okay. So we started off by asking you suggestions of songs that you liked or you think you'd like to have played during your surgery. We then moved on to, you know, what kind of music should your surgeon have played? Would your music distract your surgeon?
Yeah.
We've had a couple more messages. What have we got, Arv?
Yeah, so Raz says that my first choice of song would be First Cut is the Deepest by Rod Stewart.
Oh, my word.
So that's nice.
Well done.
Then Husna says that Jake Bugg's new album, Heart That Strain. I think he or she would listen to that. And we have more coming in, and we'll select some after the break.
Okie dokie. We've got some music coming up back to back. We have The Kings of Leon with The Bucket. Please don't kick it. Followed by Beck with The New Pollution. When we get back, some podcast suggestions of stuff that we think you might enjoy during the weekend break. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes here on BFM 89.9.
Brewing Financial Minds, BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise BizBytes. It's almost time for us to wrap up and give you some podcast suggestions. But of course, we've been having a bit of fun asking you guys for suggestions of songs that you would listen to during surgery. Because according to 30 years of research, music reduces the pain that you have after surgery and during surgery. Hmm. So we've had a bunch of suggestions. I've got one off the top of my head. The Verve, The Drugs Don't Work.
But if you have music, you wouldn't need them.
That's true.
Yeah.
Right. What do we have from our listeners then?
We have a tweet from Amril Malik. He says that I'll go for Natural Mystic by Robert Nesta Marley. Nice deep cut.
Manic Depression, Jimi Hendrix.
Oh, nice. Yeah, nice.
Could do that. Yeah,
yeah. And then this comes from Sterling Key. He says that what should my doctor play during surgery? Anything from Two Steps from Hell. Why? If the job of saving lives wasn't epic, it would be now. Would that distract the surgeon? Nope. Maybe even improve concentration. Hmm. And then another one comes from Joan. She says that, hello, love your program. I am a retired operating room nurse. I have been an OR nurse for 35 years. She has worked with surgeons who want music while they operate. There's a surgeon who she worked with in the 80s who wanted ABBA music. Another whom she worked with in the 90s who wanted rock music, and another who wants music from the 50s. Personally, she says that she had an MRI 2 times, and I think calming soft instrumental music would be very soothing while having the examination. And then there is another one from Sunny. Sunny says that Unbreak My Heart during heart surgery.
Oh my word. Thank you, Sunny, and thank you, Joan, for that insightful little tidbit there. Really good stuff. Right, okay, we need to move on though, so of course we're going to wrap up in a few minutes, but what we'll do is we'll give you some podcast suggestions of stuff that you might want to listen to over the weekend. Audrey, do you want to go first?
Yeah, sure. So I did this show on Tuesday. It's called The Ease of Doing Business in Malaysia. This is part one of a two-part series. Well, as we know, Malaysia is internationally recognized for its business-friendly policy, a very competitive economy. We are ranked, I think, right now 24th in the Doing Business report by the World Bank.
Wow.
So, you know, we're pretty good. Hmm. But how easy is it really to do business in Malaysia? So this is a GE14 special. And as Malaysians prepared to go to the polls, we looked at the ease of doing business in Malaysia and the unease in some cases. So we spoke to several entrepreneurs who've experienced firsthand what it's like to start and grow a business or multiple businesses in Malaysia to gauge what it's really like doing business here and the kind of improvements they hope to see post GE14. So we covered regulatory issues, what it's like to start businesses, financial incentives, government assistance. And in part two that's coming up next Tuesday, we cover things like GST and foreign labour and things like that. So catch up on the first part. It's called The Ease of Doing Business in Malaysia.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Then Christine did, she had Samuel Chua in the studio on Monday. The topic was taking a breather with Lifetime. So this is basically, you know, as working professionals, we often tend to prioritise and plan around our work. Most of the time when that happens, we push the rest of our lives aside. But we cannot forget that work isn't all there is to life. So Samuel Chua spoke about Lifetime, which is a company that hosts retreats for people who want to spend time on life stuff, which is the stuff people tend to ignore or neglect in favour of work and stress.
Brilliant. If you did miss those shows, of course, you can listen to the podcast from our app. It is available in the Apple App Store or on Google Play. But also this weekend, we've got some Nomination Day programming.
Yeah, so tomorrow is Nomination Day ahead of GE14. There's a special two-hour special of I Love KL with Melissa Idris and Shirat Kutin that starts at noon tomorrow. So, you know, listen up and, you know, really understand who you will be voting for and what that means.
Excellent stuff. Right, let's quickly run through the stories that we covered today. But first of all, thank you very much for all of your contributions. It's been a lot of fun. We've really enjoyed your suggestions. We will pass on your suggestions to our surgeons for the future generations.
Oh, yeah.
A bit of Slayer, some Iron Maiden, and some ABBA.
Good choices.
Right, okay. So we started off, of course, with that story.
Yes, music makes surgery less scary and painful, and there's 30 years of research to back that up.
And the ingenious digital swear jar that uses voice recognition to penalise you for bad words.
Then we spoke about how Disney is coming up with a force jacket that will let you feel stuff when you're wearing like VR goggles.
Okay, then that story about Amazon's Echo for Kids. It's a dot with a case and cute responses and also parental controls.
That's all the time we have for today. But of course, don't go anywhere because coming up after the 1 o'clock news, it is the Breakfast Grill replay. The insurance landscape has seen a major shift in the way it operates due to the phased liberalisation of regulation in the industry, as announced by Bank Negara. How has this impacted the insurance players and what do they stand to gain? gained from it. The Breakfast Grill spoke to Group CEO of Takaful's Malaysia, Dato Sri Hassan Kamil, about embracing the new shift from regulations to technology. That's all coming up in a few minutes. If you missed any part of this show, just a quick reminder again, you can download the BFM app from the Apple App Store or from Google Play. Have yourselves a wonderful weekend. My name is Rich Bradbury. I've been in the studio with
Audrey Raj.
Arvind Yuvaraj.
This, of course, has been Enterprise BizBytes. We will be back on Monday at noon. Some music to take us out of the show. It is The Babe Rainbow, and I love telling everybody the name of this song. It is The Secret Enchanted Broccoli Forest. That's all coming up here on BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.